All right. Oh, okay. It's going to be like
sports time radio. All sports, all the time.
Well, it's our first time here this week, but it's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, since it's
Friday, let's do that. Start spreading the news.
Look at that. Schomburg Stu is here.
In the house and ready to go.
So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that over while you were over there, that would be very nice of you. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, even though it's been a week, at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time, so feel free to shoot me anything you're interested in to send to Stu, and I will pass it along, or vice versa, or however it works, and we are good to go. So, all right. So, the NFL season kicked off last night, I think. Allegedly?
Supposedly, right?
Possibly? Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I saw what I guess was passed off as a an NFL game, but it didn't even look like quality preseason football. Somehow the Packers did manage to pick up the win, 10-3 here in Chicago after incredibly embarrassing play by, you know, whoever you want to call him, Mitchell Trubisky, you know, draft bust. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of other names I'm sure that you could hang on at this point in time. So pick the one you like and go with it. I watched until the Packers scored and I was done, and obviously I didn't miss anything. Did you sit through the entire fiasco, or how much of it did you make?
Well, I did sit through the entire game. Of course, I switched back and forth to watch some of the Cub game as well. And that was probably a better game to watch than the Bears game. We could actually devote the whole entire hour about the Bears offense, but it'll be a very short broadcast, though.
Yeah, just you know, trying to come up with positives, and I don't think there, you know, there really are any. I did like the fact that Green Bay pointed out, and I think a lot of, you know, I guess we'll call them quality teams in the NFL could do this against the Bears. And like the Packers said last night, they wanted to make Trubisky play quarterback and throw the football. He threw it 45 times, and still only managed to rack up 228 yards, which means he was dropping crap off. He wasn't trying to go down the field. Somehow Allen Robinson had 7 catches for 102 yards. I don't know how that accidentally happened, but I know it's one game and you don't want to go crazy, but do we have to have some kind of concern about this offense? I mean, let's face it, the play calling sucked and the quarterback play was just as bad.
I got a kick out of some of the people who said, well, it's because Burton didn't play. As if he would make that much of an impact on the game.
So yeah, we're really digging for excuses now. basically an average tight end didn't play because he was injured, and that was going to change the whole onset of the game. So,
remember how good Trubisky looked in the first game of the season last year against Green Bay, at least in the first half?
No.
And he was completely unrecognizable today. You know, last night he was just one of his worst, possibly his worst performance as a starting quarterback for the Bears.
Yeah, you know, and I know the Green Bay defense has improved. So, you know, I can understand that, but I don't know if you want to call it embarrassing, you know, pathetic. I mean, you can throw out whatever adjectives you got in your vocabulary to describe the Bears offense, and it was that. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, it was sad. You know, I guess we'll go with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens that when they play the next game against Denver. In fact, the next two games are on the road, I think, and starting with Denver a week from Sunday, and that won't be easy.
Yeah, no, Denver's another, you know, really good defensive team. So, you know, if they, you know, and obviously they're playing their old defensive coordinator, so he's going to, you know, he's going to have a little insight into what goes on there. It could be, you know, it could be another one of these ugly games. I mean, the defense is as advertised. You know, I still don't know if it'll be as good as it was last year, but it's going to be one of the top defenses in the NFL for sure. I just don't know if there's going to be any offensive support for it.
Yeah, maybe some of the experts were right when they said the Bears will not do nearly as well this season as they did last year.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to wonder when your offensive highlight is your kicker making a 38-yard field goal because you've had problems with it for how long now. You've got to figure you're not starting off on the right note there.
No. And then after his field goal, he kicks the ball out of bounds on the ensuing kickoff when Green Bay had wound up with great field position.
Yeah, well, you know, you wonder if they were trying to run something on that kickoff or what they were trying to do with it for it to be, you know, as bad as it was. You know, if maybe they thought they saw something in the Green Bay return team where, you know, they could drop it in and maybe pin it back. But, yeah, it was bad.
And as I think I mentioned to you in the email, the Boo Birds are really out, especially in the second half last night.
Well, I can understand that. You know, I mean, that kind of makes sense. I mean, there are big expectations on this team. You know, I mean, they're Super Bowl team, even though I think it's unjustified. You know, there's talk that this team is a Super Bowl contender. And so, you know, I mean, you're going to, you know, you're going to get this when you play like you did.
Yeah, and of course, when the Bears won the Super Bowl, their main strength was their defense also. But at least they put some points on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, that team had some offensive weapons. When you look at the box score, I mean, you have to explain to me, you know, I know they only ran the ball 15 times, but how is Cohen not going to carry when he's probably their most dangerous weapon with his hands?
I couldn't figure that out, and also they kind of stopped using Montgomery, too, after he looked pretty good initially in the first few sets of downs.
Yeah, you know, and I get it. You know, Matt Nagy is one of these new, you know, young offensive geniuses that have apparently came up through the ranks in the, you know, the last few years with the Andy Reid, John McVay type of coaching tree. But, you know, every time I watch the Bears, it seems like he relies so much on gimmickry with the offense. You know, I know the one good thing about when the Bears lose a game, and I don't know if everybody has this in their area, but on WGN Radio, every post-game they have Dan Hampton and Ed O'Brien. I think Glenn Kozlowski is in there somewhere as well. And it's no nonsense, borderline, you know, guys are going to start swearing at you type of analysis. And they were going nuts last night that on 3rd and 1, the Bears couldn't line up and get a yard, and they tried to run out of shotgun.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous play. They wound up losing 2 yards in the play, I think, it turned out.
Yeah. You know, I know at one point in time they had a 1st and 40.
Yeah. They kept going, they were going backwards.
So.
Yeah, not a very impressive start to the campaign for the Bears, that's for sure. And that gives us great concern that this team may be really overrated.
Yeah, you know what I mean? In reality, to be fair, for it wasn't a great, you know, great option for the Packers either. They just happened to be on the right end of a, you know, a 10-3 score. So, you know, that kind of worked out. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers looked okay, but he didn't look great. And I know they got the running game going a little later, but, you know, it took a while for them to kind of move. And, you know, we'll have to see how you know, how it goes on as, you know, as the weeks proceed here. But, you know, not only did either team get off to a very good start, this game was so bad it almost makes you not want to watch anything on Sunday.
Well, I'm sure you'll wind up watching some of the action on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to think so, but I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, hard. I mean, you know, since that movie, you end up walking out of it was so bad. And, you know, I was almost glad I had to turn it off so I could go to bed to get up to work.
Here's a question for you regarding the last night's game. As you know, both the Packers and the Bears hardly use their regulars at all during the exhibition season. Did this hurt them?
Now what they say is Trubisky struggles. We're not tied to preseason inaction. Obviously, I think it did. I mean, you know, what was funny is I was listening to some yups on the radio this morning defend it by saying, well, you know, if he would have had him out there in the preseason, he could have got hurt, and then what they would do, you know, you can get hurt at any time as a football player, even in practice. I mean, you know, we've seen guys get hurt. I know the Jaguars just lost their left tackle today to a non-contact injury in practice.
Yeah, it's football, fam. Injuries happen. But I certainly think they're going to change that next season. The Bears, at least, will have the regulars in a little bit more than this year.
So, yeah, and, you know, we'll see how some of these other teams do. I know, you know, Jared Goff didn't take a preseason snap for the Rams. So, we'll have to see. You know, if or how that affects them. You know, I mean, you know, I don't, Rodgers didn't play, and he looked a little rusty to start. I don't know, you know, all the stats from all the teams, so I don't really know who played and who didn't. But you got to think, I mean, if guys kind of look rusty as they get out there, you would think teams would be smart enough to reevaluate it. But I also think at this point in time, like guys like Matt Nagy and this, you know, Matt LaFleur, I honestly think they're under the impression that they're the smartest guys in the room, and this is how you go about it. So I don't think we'll see a change.
Well, it's entirely possible. And, of course, as you well know, there's only a 16-game season in the NFL, so it's not like they have the luxury of getting a couple of games under their belt before the offense starts to come through. You know, one game is a lot more important in the NFL than any other of the sports.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Bears start off in a hole. Not only do they get a loss, but they get a loss to a divisional opponent at home. So, you know, it's not the way you want to, you know, kick off the season, so to speak. But, you know, I guess you can't look at this one game.
Yeah, both those teams looked so bad last night that I'm wondering if maybe Detroit or Minnesota has a shot at winning the division.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, there are a lot of people on the Minnesota bandwagon. Of course, there were a lot of people on that bandwagon last year as well, and it didn't work out. You know, and I know Stephon Diggs just came up with a hamstring injury, and he's questionable for Sunday. So, you know, it's, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. But, you know, you never know.
Right. Well, I hope there's a little more offense in the game Sunday.
I hope there's a little more offense in every game Sunday than what this disaster was. I mean, you got to expect, you know, and I don't know if the ratings have came out yet. I tried to look at them earlier and I couldn't find them, but I'm sure it did a gigantic rating for NBC. I mean, the Bears always do, and then you put them on against the Packers. So I'm sure this was just monster ratings to open the season. But,
yeah. Plus the hype from last season, great performance too. Enhanced it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people thought they might be a contender this year, which would increase the ratings even more.
So, but yeah, you can't figure they're happy with the product they got last night.
No, I'm sure they weren't, and I'm sure a lot of fans turned the game off towards in the third and fourth quarters. It was so bad.
So yeah, especially the casual fan who's just tuning in because it's opening night and doesn't have like a vested interest in either team. You know, I'm sure like the hardcore fans stay with it. But yeah, I mean, if you're hey, it's opening night, let's watch some football, and you get this, I'm sure you found something better to do, especially if you got a baseball team in the pennant race.
Yeah, it was. Not a very impressive performance last night. Let's hope both teams can put it behind them and see what they do the next time out.
So, yeah, and then, you know, now that Ezekiel Elliott is signed, the other big NFL story is, you know, Antonio Brown. He went from freezing his feet and not being able to play to protesting the helmet he wasn't going to wear, or he didn't want to wear, and not being able to play. Then he came out publicly with a letter the Raiders wrote to him informing him of his fines. That had nothing to do with the team. I know everybody tried to blame that on the Raiders. That was a private communication that the Raiders sent to Brown, and Brown decided to share it with everybody. Basically trying to play the poor me card, even though he needed to be at these practices and whatever. And when you don't do it in the NFL, you get fined. Yesterday, he has a big fight with the general manager and actually threatens him. They come out and say they're going to suspend him. Well, now today, Brown goes in front of the whole team and cries, literally cries, just like a baby. And manages to get John Gruden to agree to play him on Monday night against Denver. Okay, now, Stu, neither of you and I are stupid people. You know, you're a college graduate. I managed to attend a couple college classes for various reasons. You know, if Brown would have been suspended, this would have allowed the Raiders to get at his guaranteed money. How quickly do you think it took his agent to call him and say, hey, dude, you got to apologize or we're going to lose this?
Yeah, I think that certainly factored into the decision that when he finally decided to apologize to his fan, to his teammates. Now, will he actually play Monday? I mean, is he in game shape?
Well, he's not in game shape, but they're saying he's going to play.
Yeah, if he has a great performance, then he'll say, "I told you so. I'm ready to go." But if he tanks, that's the more likely scenario. That's not going to be looking too good for him.
Yeah, I honestly don't think he has any chance at a great performance, you know, at all. But yeah, it was humorous because I heard this report when I first got home about, you know, how he stood up in front of the team with the team captains and. he cried, apologized. I'm sure they were crocodile tears, and it was all fake because all he's trying to do is hang into that $30 million guaranteed. So that's...
This guy is really a head case, and hasn't he had some issues in the past? He's had issues in the past, too, right? This is not the only time.
Yeah, he was suspended by the Steelers for the last game of the season last year. He was the moron who decided to go live on Facebook while the coach was giving the post-game interview in the locker room. You know, like, they don't even let the media in there for that, but this idiot decided to go live on Facebook with it.
Yeah, he... certainly a flaky individual, and I wonder about his longevity in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he's a complete clown. I know he's got 3 years with the Raiders, but you wonder if he'll make it that long. You know, at this point, because you've got to figure, you know, especially once the game is played Monday and they can't get to that money. How big of a problem is he going to be then?
Yeah, and it really staggers me because look at the mega bucks involved with his contract, and he's in danger of losing it because of his off the field activity and what's going on with him. And the guy, I question his mental stability.
Yeah, you know, that has actually been brought up a time or two. You know, there are people wondering if. Maybe there's something wrong with him there, and he needs professional help.
Yeah, certainly there's some medications he can take if it's approved by the league, and that might help him to improve his with the obvious problems that he has right now.
Yeah, it was just humorous listening to it this morning. And, you know, of course, there's always, there's always that expert who's going to buy whatever the hype is. Oh, yeah, look at this. He did this. It was great for, you know, this or that or whatever they're trying to go with. And, you know, he's the ultimate professional because he saw his mistake. Like, get up. Like, how do you have a job? You're a moron.
Yeah, I can't agree with the so-called experts in this case. I think the guy has some problems, but I hope he does well Monday, and maybe they could put this behind them and play football for the rest of the season.
Oh, see, I was just kind of hoping he'd run a crossing route on Monday, and somebody would just take him out, and he wouldn't have to deal with him.
Well, that could happen too. That could happen too when you're not in football shape. You can really get hurt.
You know, I figured that way it would just kind of solve all our problems, and you know, I wouldn't have to listen. You know, because just too weird. So,
yeah, it's an odd scenario with this guy.
Yeah, then the other very strange NFL story today. You know, Julio Jones has been talking about he wants a new contract. Nothing new. Every NFL guy wants a new contract, I'm sure. But he mentioned today at his press conference in a very almost kind of odd or roundabout way that he's not sure if he's going to play on Sunday. Stu, it's Friday. If you're this guy's teammate, aren't you a little livid over this if he decides that all of a sudden now he's going to hold out?
Yeah, I would think that would be a tremendous distraction if indeed it doesn't play Sunday. Although I think it's talk right now. I think he'll wind up playing.
Yeah, you know, just kind of the way he said it, I fully expect him to play, but I don't know. You know, if these players realize the effect they have on the game when they do this kind of thing. You know, because all you do is alienate your fan base, and your fan base is the one who pays your salary. You know, they go to the games, they spend the money, they buy the jerseys. So, you know, you'd like to think these guys would be smart enough to get their heads out of their rear end, but they're really not. You know, they just seem to cry more and more about money, and you got to wonder when the fans are going to finally have enough of it and just walk away, and that's it.
Yeah, I could see that happening, and I get a kick out of these guys that want to renegotiate their contracts if they're having a great year, say, for example. Do they ever renegotiate their contracts when they're having a bad year and say, I did so poorly, I'm gonna cut my salary in half. Just show that I'm a team player. Has that ever happened?
That was one of the funny stories I still remember from, you know, I don't remember what year it was, way back when. I believe Hank Greenberg won the American League MVP, and he went to the owner of the team and asked for a raise, and the owner said, well, we would have finished in that place with or without you, so no.
Yeah.
You know, if they said that to a guy today, he would have a fit and cry, and the media would be all over, you know, whatever the guy who said it was. Oh, my God, I can't believe he said that to him. Well, it's true. You finished in last place. Why is this guy deserve a raise?
Yeah. Last place is last place, no matter how good you were. And he was a hell of a player, by the way.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was just kind of, anytime I think about this, because now, you know, the next step is, you know, what happens when it's, you know, the week before the Super Bowl, and, you know, that quarterback is looking for a new contract. Oh, well, maybe I won't play if I don't get a new contract.
Yeah, I think, that, as you pointed out, that could really alienate the fan base, because the fans know how much these guys are getting, and they know what they're getting, their salaries, and would you think that they would think that, hey, look at the mega bucks these guys are getting, and they're still complaining. I can't understand.
Yeah, yeah. The difficult part, like my big hang up with the Ezekiel Elliott thing was he had 2 years left on a contract. And they gave him, you know, they let him out of it.
Yeah, they caved to him, and I just was surprised that they did that.
You know, and yeah, looking at Julio Jones' deal. He's in the same spot. He's got this year and next year left on a contract. It looks like this year he's going to make $9.6 million, and then that jumps to a little over $11.4 next year. But in total, he's made $81 million in his career.
Not too shabby, huh?
No. You know, I mean, unless, you know, he's, just throwing it away on bad investments or something, you know, you would think he would be okay monetarily-wise. And I get it that for elite receivers, which he is, $9.6 million is a little low. The problem is that's what you do to yourself when you sign a long-term deal. You know, he signed a 5-year deal.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's wrong, because these guys – I mean, a deal's a deal. A contract's a contract. And he looks at it and says, I'm underpaid. But it's too late. I don't condone any kind of renegotiations.
So, yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, because technically, I mean, you know, not that any team would ever do it, but, you know, when a guy walks out like that, he's in breach of contract. They could actually take him to court.
Yeah, and I wouldn't blame him for doing it, although it probably would never happen. But a lot of the players just don't consider a contract a valid instrument, and it really is. I mean, a contract is a contract. And I said before, I don't approve of any renegotiations ever.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, I get it now. You know, like now he's the 13th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and he's probably one of the top. You know, I'd put him in the top three. You know, so I can understand that. Okay, well, you are underpaid, but again, They gave you a 5-year deal for $71 million, and you signed it. Well, now, obviously, your agent wasn't smart enough to realize that by the end of this deal, you would be the 13th highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Right, and if he's willing, if he doesn't like the deal, then he should be more upset with the agent, his agent, and not with the owners.
You know, I mean, why is it, you know, why is it the owner's fault that you agreed to this deal?
And we know that the life of a football player is low in terms of years, and you got to make as much as you can. But once you sign the contract, that's it. You agree to it and fulfill your agreement with the team. You sign the contract.
You know, but yeah, you know, I would think a guy who's got who has made $81 million would be doing okay.
You would think so.
Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't know much about his style, but you know, I mean, even if you just save your money for this year, you know, don't spend any of that $9.6 million, you'll be okay.
Or is he one of these guys that has an entourage, which eats into his money?
Yeah. You know, I don't, you know, pay attention to those, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, it really, I think detracts from the integrity of the sport when they try to renegotiate their contract. Which is why, by the way, I give Anthony Rizzo a lot of credit for the Cubs, because he never complained about his contract, and that's low by today's standards. But he signed a deal; he's happy with it, and he doesn't mention it at all. That's it. He fulfills his contract obligation and goes forward.
Yeah. You know, it's weird how some guys are like that. You know, you don't hear anything about them. They just, you know, they play their deal, and then when they're a free agent, they go out and try to get the most money they can get. You know, I mean, even as grossly overpaid as a guy like Bryce Harper is, he didn't cry about being underpaid when he was with the Nationals. You know, he just played out his string, and when it was his time to get paid, he went and got his money.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that the Phillies kind of regret maybe signing him to that kind of deal for so much money for so many years, but that's another issue. He just another guy that hasn't fulfilled his expectations, but he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, any NFL guy, but off the top of my head, I can't come up with any that actually just played out their contract. And then, you know, I'm sure there were some linemen and stuff who just played out their deals and went about their business. But, you know, other than that, you know, the glamour positions always seem to be the guys who try to.
Yeah, there always seems to be issues with the glamour positions, as you said, and there always seems to be problems with some of these guys and with their contract. And as I said before, though, maybe they should set up a deal, play for performance generated. And I guess there are some clauses in the contract that have that, but maybe there should be more of it. On the other hand, though, if there's a down year from the player, could you reduce the amount of money that he gets? I don't think they would like that very much.
Yeah. Oh, no, the crying that would happen if you tried to lower somebody's salary. Uh-oh. Geez.
Well, you know, as we pointed out, they have no problem wanting more money if they have a great season, but they certainly aren't going to give the money back if they have a poor season. Doesn't it work both ways?
No.
Shouldn't it work both ways?
It should, but you know, I mean, in the system they have, you know, seeing it would be funny because if a guy had a down year and an owner went to him and said he wanted to renegotiate a lower deal, imagine right away, you know, the first thing the union would say is, well, this is the contract they signed. You need to pay him what he signed for. Okay, well, why is he holding out?
Yeah, that's right. It's not a two-way street in contract renegotiations, especially in the NFL.
Yeah,
you
know,
see more of that,
you know,
by the way? Is that the only sport that really gets these issues, or does it happen sometimes in other sports as well? Basically football, though.
Yeah, you know, football, it always seems to be the most prevalent. But, you know, I mean, you know, we've seen the baseball guys who, you know, haven't played until the middle of the season. And, you know, every now and then there's a hockey guy, you know, who hold out. I don't think it happens in the NBA very much.
No, because the money there is just so incredibly, the contracts are so incredibly lucrative. That why would they even bother considering renegotiations?
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, I know, you know, from time to time when a guy gets to the end of his deal, you know, they renegotiate stuff to try to help the salary cap. But I don't know how much of it is actually, you know, the player saying, hey, I need this or I need that. But, yeah, I mean, maybe there's been – I'd have to look, but I don't know if there's been an NBA holdout.
No, the salary in the NBA are astronomical. But I'm sure the players say it's not enough, right? It's not enough. They want more.
Oh, yeah. You know that's how it always is. You know, there's always, you know, always that guy who thinks he's worth more or – you know, they should get more, or who knows what's going to go on. But
yeah, years ago when I first started watching sports, there seemed to be more loyalty. There was more loyalty with the players than there is now. Now it's not loyalty anymore. It's how much can you pay me?
Yeah, that's all. The only thing they're loyal to now is the dollar. You know, wherever, whoever's paying them, they're just built of the money. So, you know, I guess in a way you understand it, because guy, you know, in reality, a guy should make as much as he can. But yeah, you know, it gets to be a little annoying, or however you want to look at it, when you listen to these guys cry. You know, are making millions upon millions that they need more money.
Right, and I'm sure the fans aren't too happy when this happens, because they make a fraction of what these guys make, and they don't seem to complain, and then they try to support the team, and then they go out and cause all these distractions with their renegotiation and crying about the lack of money that they're getting.
So, yeah, you know, and that, you know, that's always, you know, you've got to wonder sooner or later. I mean, when that guy gets that big deal, well, how does the team pay for it? They raise ticket prices.
That's what they're going to do. And so perhaps they can get a few more, squeeze a few more commercials in, too, if there's so many now that they're annoying as they are, and they could squeeze some more in.
You know, and that's, you know, you got to kind of start to wonder, you know, how, you know, again, how long before they, you know, they run the fans off the game? How long before a fan can't afford to go to a game?
Well, aren't most of the fans, I mean, a lot of fans are economically, they can't afford to go more than once a year, maybe at best. A loyal fan, and years past, they would go maybe a half a dozen games a year, maybe a few more, but they're priced, the tickets are priced them out of the market.
So, yeah, you know, and that's, you know, kind of, you know, kind of the thing you wonder. It's like, okay, you know, what are they going to do when they're playing the, you know, half empty stadiums? You know, they still going to cry about money then?
Yeah. And you have to wonder if one of the four major sports, if there's another strike, is that going to kill the fan base for when the strike is resolved? And baseball was very lucky. The fans came back because of that, when the Maguire-Sosa home run battle. But I don't know if that'll happen again.
No, and, we might find out with football, you know, like they're – the union has been telling the players to save their money. money, you know, because they're, I don't know if it's this year or next year, but their CPA is up. And, you know, they're talking about going on strike.
And it was pretty bad the last time there was a strike in the NFL with the, when they brought the ringers, the second string and third string players in, and all the problems that caused, and yet the fans came back, but I'm not so sure they'll come back again.
You know, and that's the thing you got to wonder again. You know, it gets to the point of what, you know, what is the breaking point? You know, I mean, the NFL, and it's weird because the media really seems to do this to the NFL. But when something happens in the NFL, it's a gigantic sports, a gigantic story. You know, they had the kneeling and the flag and, you know, Colin Kaepernick. But when it happens in other sports, it's not that major media firestorm that you get. And I still haven't understood this. I guess the only thing I can figure is, you know, whoever's reporting on the story wants to be the reporter that takes the king down. And, you know, the NFL is still king when it comes to sports.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if part of that is because they only play once a week as compared to the other sports. I mean, the games are more of a big deal because they only play a small schedule compared to baseball, basketball, or hockey, and it's magnified. Of course, it got to be such a popular sport over the last decade or two. You know, it was never as popular as baseball, the NFL, but when they made that merger between the AFL and the NFL, it seemed like it really took off.
I mentioned to you just kind of in passing the DeMarcus Cousins thing from last week. There still hasn't been any reports on it, and you know, they issued an arrest warrant for him. I never saw any stories on it anyway. But if it would have been an NFL player, it would have been in the A block of every show on the good old Mickey Mouse Network.
Well, you know that. You know that they would pay attention to a story like that. But since it's not the NFL, they put it on the back burner.
So, yeah, I just kind of find it humorous. But, all right, enough of that garbage. I guess we're going to call it irritation for the weekend here. I keep hearing all about the great baseball rivalry because it's Yankee-Red Sox weekend. I get that, you know, every game is going to be on television, so they're trying to promote it. Do you think that fans aren't dumb enough to realize that the Red Sox are 16.5 games behind the Yankees and 6.5 out of the wild card? So they're probably not a playoff team this year. But, man, they are selling it like they're going to repeat as World Series champions.
Yeah, I can't believe they would be doing that because I think any knowledgeable sports fan knows that the Red Sox are done for this season. They're not going to be in the playoffs. They're just too far behind the three wild card teams. But, as you pointed out, the network doesn't care. It's the Red Sox and the Yankees. Uno attraction.
Yeah, I saw the promo on Fox Sports 1 today, and they were acting like they were battling for first place. And I was just kind of like, wait, are we talking about the same Red Sox and Yankees here?
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, we all know they're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, now if it was a battle between, say, Tampa and Oakland, that would be an important game.
Yeah. Humorously, there are probably more important games on the schedule this weekend, you know, with actual playoff implications. I mean, the only implications this have is if the Yankees can sweep, maybe they'll clinch the division.
Yeah, they're getting close to clinching. They're, what, about 10 games ahead now, aren't they? So the magic number should be pretty low for them.
Just kind of looking at it, I mean, we got, you know, the Phillies at the Mets. I know the Mets have split a little as of late, but obviously that's still a big series. You know, we got the Cubs at the Brewers. The Indians are actually at the Twins. So there, you know, there really are some games with playoff implications, you know, all over them, and yet they just want to focus on Red Sox Yankees. It's like, really? Why?
Yeah. You would think logically they would focus on the Indians and the Twins. That's the biggest battle going on to me. The first and second place teams.
Or you can still match because it's big market teams.
No.
So.
Well, I certainly hope
the fans
come out to see that at least give you a 95% capacity when the Twins play at Cleveland over the weekend.
Well, the game, it's in Minnesota, so they'll actually be able to draw people. So,
yeah. You know they wouldn't if it was in Cleveland.
Oh, God, no. Well, you know, they would get a decent crowd. It just wouldn't sell out.
No. No.
So.
That should be an interesting game, a series, because I think if the Twins even win 2 out of 3, I think it kind of just about sealed the deal for them to win the AL Central.
Yeah, they've built their lead back to 6.5. You know, for a while, Cleveland was right there. They may have even moved into first place for a day. But, you know, Minnesota's kind of back on track. They're 6.5. You mentioned the Yankees. They're not quite 10 ahead. They're actually 9.5 ahead. And Houston down there is 9 ahead.
Yeah, it seems those races are pretty well settled.
So, but, yeah, the only division with an active release going on is the Central, the NL Central.
That's it. That's the only one, because I think Atlanta's pretty well going to repeat as the Eastern champion in the National League. So I think the only one that's really up for grabs is the NL Central, as you pointed out. And also, one of the main reasons for that is that the Cubs and the Cardinals play 7 more games before the end of the season.
Yeah, the Braves have an 8-game lead, and then the Dodgers. The Dodgers have an 8-game lead.
Well, I'm sure that it should be just about over in the NL West. It's got to be almost clinching time for them.
But yeah, it's definitely a big series for the Mets and the Phillies, because the Phillies are actually 1 game ahead of the Mets right now. So the team that comes out on the short end of that series is probably done. You know, even right now they're on the outside looking in for a wild card, because you know, they both slipped a little, and you know, it's going to be, you know, obviously probably more disappointing in Philadelphia, but.
Yeah, I don't think in Philadelphia. I'm surprised that their lead is only a game over the Mets right now, because they were pretty substantially ahead of them for quite some time. So they've come down to the pack, and they certainly seem to be a stronger team than the Mets, although the Mets have some good pitching going for them.
Yeah, well, you know, right now the Cubs have a 3.5 game lead holding on to that second wild card spot. And that lead is actually on the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have won 9 of their last 10 games. The Phillies are 4 back, while the Brewers and the Mets are still hanging around, but they're 5 back. So, yeah, if the Mets drop 2 of 3, I think it's over. I really think they have to take 2 of 3 just to kind of stay in the race.
Yes, one of those teams have to sweep, I think, to have a chance of getting in there. But it does look like Washington is going to wind up with the number one team in the wild card, though, in the National League. And it looks pretty well settled for me.
Yeah, another team that made a nice comeback. I mean, remember, the only team they were ahead of was the Marlins at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they made a terrific turnaround.
Yeah, you know, now they look like a playoff team.
Yeah, I thought that Martinez's job was going to be in jeopardy at one time, but right now I guess he seems pretty solid.
Hey, I actually came out here and said they should fire him. So, you know, it shows what I know.
Yeah,
but, you know,
yeah,
job,
yeah. Yeah, they've made the most impressive turnaround of any team in baseball, I would say, since the initial start of the season. I mean, if they played decently at the beginning of the season, they would have given Atlanta a good run for their money.
Yeah, it would have been a race. They have a 2-game lead on the Cubs. So, you know, I mean, it's not insurmountable for the Cubs to take that spot or possibly the Cardinals, depending on how the division ends up going. But, yeah, you know, I mean, they, you know, walk, you know, barring a collapse, they look like a playoff team. And, you know, if Max Scherzer's completely healthy, they could be a playoff contender. I mean, Steven Strasburg fished well. You know, Patrick Corbin has been good. You know, you only really need three in the playoffs. So,
yeah, once the only problem is if Washington does advance and wins their wild card game, they wind up playing the Dodgers, and that, even with their good pitching, that won't be an easy matchup.
No, but you know how to, you know, you look at it. I mean, you just need to get in. You know, once you get in, things happen.
That's it. You got to get that one game in, and. When was the last time a wild card team won the World Series? Or has that ever happened? That must have happened once or twice.
It happened. I remember the Giants won one as a wild card team.
It hasn't happened recently though. The last 4 or 5 years, right?
I don't know. You know if or how. I'll have to see if I can find it here.
Certainly not since 2015, at least. 2015, I don't think any of the last 5 years or 4 years that any wild card team has played for the World Series.
Who won what or who ended up winning what? Let's see. It looks like it's 2014 with the Giants.
We're talking 5 years, huh? Well, maybe it's time for a wild card team to surprise.
And it looks like six times the wild card team has won the World Series. So.
Well, there's a lot more. Let's put it this way: there's a lot more chance for a wild card team in baseball to win the World Series than a number 8 seed to win in the NBA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So, hey, you know, I mean, yeah, in the NBA, you could say, you know, there's a better chance than probably a 4 or even a 5 seed of winning a title.
Yeah.
You know, with as top heavy as the league is.
Yeah. And at least you can say that there's always surprises in the NHL. You got to give them that credit. I give a lot of credit for them to anything can happen in the NHL. It's proven what happened last season.
So, yeah, it's just kind of coming down to the wire and see who hangs on. I mean, you know, in the American League, you know, it's still the three teams for the two spots. Tampa Bay's got the first spot by a game over Oakland, and then Oakland's got a game lead on Cleveland. So they're all, you know, they're all right there in a bunch. You throw a blanket over them and see which two shake out.
Yeah, it's one of those three teams, that's for sure. Or two of those three teams will be in will play for the wild card. Who's going to be out? Will it be Cleveland? Will it be Oakland?
Yep.
Or will it be Tampa? One of those three, two of those three teams definitely are going to be in the wild card game. So that's pretty much a given.
So, yeah, you know, at least there's a few teams hanging around. Not like the National League where there are multiple teams, but, you know, it's just kind of how it goes.
Right. Well, it does make things exciting, at least for the last month of the season when there's a possibility of so many teams getting into the wild card, especially in the National League.
So yeah, you never know. You know, we'll have to see in the end how it works out.
Yeah, it wouldn't be something if Arizona wound up qualifying and winning the wild card game. That would be a surprise.
You know, I mean, it is
possible.
You know, that it could go that way. But all right, while I'm thinking about this here, let's make sure we get this done here. Looking here last week, the only thing you missed on was you had the Cubs winning the series against the Brewers that they ended up losing. So you went 3-1. You're actually 49-24 as the season goes along here. Now you got a game in hand here already with this. You got the Cubs, who have actually, I heard, have won 7 in a row on the road now. They picked up the big win last night. You got them sweeping this series against the Brewers?
No way. I'm very pessimistic when it comes to the Cubs. I have a split. I still think it'll be a split, 2-2 for this one.
So you don't have them winning the series either then, right? That's a big no there if you've got it beat them.
I go for a split.
Let's see what we got here then for Monday. They probably have Monday off after playing the series, but maybe it's Tuesday.
Don't they play San Diego Monday?
Oh, yeah, they are going out to San Diego on Monday, so there you go. Do you have them sweeping that series?
No, I don't think so, I'm going to take a chance here because notoriously they do very poorly on the West Coast, but San Diego is not a good team. They're not bad. They're not too bad. I'm going to take a chance and say the Cubs win 2 out of 3 against San Diego on the road.
Oh, all right. Now, last week you nailed your college football picks, so I'm going a I believe Northwestern is off, so I can't ask you about that. But I'm going to ask you about another undefeated team. The University of Illinois, coming off a gigantic 42-3 win over Akron. It looks like they are on the road against Connecticut. Both teams are 1-0. You got the Illini going to 2-0, or you going with the Connecticut? They're the Huskies to get the win.
I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to take a chance and say that Illinois is going to win that game against Connecticut.
Oh, you're going to side with Lovey and see if that works out for you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he did take the Bears to the Super Bowl 1 year. Remember that?
Yes, that was 1 year. So,
right.
What year was that? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I know they lost 27-17 to Indianapolis, though.
Yeah, I don't remember it being a very close game. So, just kind of how that worked out.
The run at the beginning of the game, Hester, remember the 108-yard kickoff return.
I wanted to see what the – oh, actually, I found it. Oh, here you go. It looks like the – depending on where you're – Illinois is up to a 22-point favorite tomorrow. But remember, they were big favorites last week, too.
Right, and they made the spread. They did make the spread quite easily last week.
Yeah, I think it was 17 or 18 points. And yeah, they covered really easily. So we'll see. Maybe they can start out 2-0 and be a bit of a surprise.
Well, let's wait and see when they play Wisconsin and Ohio State. I assume they're going to play them
when they get
right.
Well, there you go. Don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.